You're listening to The Move with Jared Dattis and Michael Ray, conversations exploring why healthcare real estate is moving from alternative to essential, and how smart capital is making the shift to one of the most overlooked asset classes today.
Morning, Mike.
Hey, JD. How are you?
I'm good, brother. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. I'm excited about what we're getting started.
I am as well. So you know what's funny?
What's that?
So I've been thinking about this a bit. It seems like many investors are chasing industrial, retail, multifamily, hospitality, data center, storage like it's 2015.
Yeah.
When healthcare real estate is growing right under their noses. You know, many of us have been investing and developing in healthcare real estate for almost 30 years now as a company, as NextCore Group. We've been doing this for 20 years. And I think it's time that we finally come out and say, healthcare real estate is not an alternative asset class anymore.
I love it. And I think you're absolutely right. Whether a good friend of ours referred to it as the asset class hiding in plain sight and things like that. But it is interesting. It's, you know, they always say, you know, history doesn't repeat itself, but behaviors do. And, you know, the way you characterize that, I think, is just sort of spot on. And you know, one of the things, or at least a popular misconception about the space, is that it's, you know, overly complex or highly regulated, or just, you know, a lot of, you know, these unknowns that are less straightforward and simplistic than, you know, it is. Sort of everybody knows apartments and industrial and that sort of thing. But, you know, I think the fact of the matter is, yes, it is complex and it has its nuances, but of course, partnered with the right group and the expertise and the deep relationships in the space, not only can you execute on it successfully, but you can achieve your investment returns. But fundamentally, it's an asset class that people, I think, fail to appreciate the fact that they know it better than they think they do, because it's personal.
It is personal. So this is, I think, one of the reasons we started this podcast, which is to not only have a conversation about the market, but to really reframe for investors what investing in healthcare real estate is.
Yes.
And so I'm excited to have this conversation throughout the seasons. No fluff, no hype. This is about what the next move is for the smart investor to catch up. So you ready to dive in?
Let's do it.
All right, brother. What is healthcare real estate?
What is healthcare real estate? I think, again, there's a popular misconception about, you know, what defines the space. And, you know, for those of us that have been in it for decades, it's actually quite simple. It's you know, the three distinct verticals of, you know, the medical real estate, the senior living communities, and science and tech, which again is very different from, you know, the more sort of, you know, mainstream space of life sciences. You know, we're talking about, you know, your academic research facilities, your other kind of healthcare derivative type things. But, you know, that's how we would define the space.
Yeah, that's great.
How would you define it?
Well, maybe it starts with a personal story. And I think I define it much like you've defined it on the professional investor context. But maybe step back a little bit about, you know, why we're here and how does healthcare real estate really start to evolve? And I think everyone has that personal connection to it.
Right.
And maybe a little bit of a personal story could start to set the stage for this conversation over the season. So we're sitting here in downtown Denver now at 16th Street and Market. I was born roughly 2 miles from here, grew up another 3 miles to the east of here. You know, we have the longest street in the country of Colfax, a continuous commercial street. And so, you know, there was a lot of activity back in the 70s here. I was fortunate. I grew up in a wonderful family. My grandfather had immigrated from Greece, and he was a custodian at East High School here in Denver. I don't know if you know this. East High School is the oldest high school in the city of Denver and still operational. But as a custodian there, he had the American dream, too, to pursue real estate. And he bought residential homes. And as a family, we all live close to each other. And I remember as a child walking around with him as he would pick weeds from the properties and take care of these residential properties that he had. And had a real insight into, huh, this is what real estate could be. Father was a police officer here in town. Mother was a dental hygienist and wonderful family. But they also, unfortunately, were hit with some illnesses. Father has MS, mother has some chronic disease issues that she's been battling. So not unique in many respects, many people go through the same thing. But what that afforded me was the opportunity early on to see the good, the bad, the ugly of healthcare facilities.
Yeah.
And then eventually as well, as my grandfather was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, see what senior housing could be, which it was pretty bad back then. He was actually locked away in a memory care unit. And that's where he eventually passed. And so that's a little bit of the personal story. But on the professional story and what healthcare real estate, the opportunity is, everyone's touched by healthcare real estate.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. And so, as you know, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time now. It's, again, almost 30 years. And some of it was strategic. Some of it was being in the right place at the right time. And so when we thought about healthcare real estate and working with hospitals and working with physicians and thinking about senior living and developing science assets, what we had observed, especially going back to the 90s, is as a developer, investor, owner, and if you think back then, I mean, it was go in the late 90s. And then the dot-com crisis happened and very unfortunate, tragic events of 9/11 happened. Go in the 2000s, some more. You had the GFC crisis, and then you had COVID. As we looked at our investments across a broad spectrum of asset classes, the healthcare assets had performed the best.
Interesting.
But
not surprising.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it was surprising to us at the time because, you know, sometimes, again, as you were describing earlier, it's hard to understand really what the healthcare assets could really mean to somebody. But it was an important part of our investment thesis as we started to grow the business. And it just proved out not only the data that was driving why healthcare, why now, but in actual market dynamics and forces that were out there, those are the assets that performed the best over time.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because, you know, you ask me, how do I define healthcare real estate?
Yeah.
And sort of my natural default is to go into a very sort of, you know, structured, you know, professional investment type sort of answer. Oh, it's this, this, and this. And we try to put things in box. You know, I reciprocate.
Yeah.
And I love and appreciate the way that you reframed it. And you said, healthcare real estate is actually easier to understand because whether we realize it or not, we all know what it is
because
we live it.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
We've all sat 100%. In that, you know, physician's office, in the hospital waiting room, in the ER waiting room, in the urgent care facility. We, you know, many of us have, you know, experienced the anxiety and stress associated with sourcing senior care, elder care for a loved one, a friend, or at least indirectly experiencing it. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, part of the, you know, church youth group or whatever, they would, you know, circle us up and we were going to go sing carols to the quote unquote shut-ins.
Mm.
And you know, it's interesting because whether you meant it or intended it or not, you know, you described your grandfather being locked away.
That's correct.
In memory care, which I think, again, speaks to some of that sort of historical stigma associated with the space and the sector.
And don't get me wrong about that. Locked-in thing, there is a safety reason to have secured memory care, of course.
Of course.
But if, I mean, I can, it's as vivid for me today as it was back then when you walk into this locked unit and it was just room by room by room. And these were really hospital beds. And so there, it was a memory care unit.
Right.
And it was not an inspiring place to be. It wasn't great for care. Were the people doing the best they could? Absolutely at the time.
Right.
But as I think about today and as we think about it today, it is not what's possible.
And that's what gets me excited because, you know, to your point, And a big part of the why behind both what we do, but also why we feel now is the time for us to, you know, communicate this message on a much wider basis is because not only have we seen the opportunity of what the built environment can facilitate and provide in this space, that is a much better experience, a much higher quality outcome from what, you know, folks have experienced historically. It's just, it's beyond exciting in terms of the potential that lies ahead for this space and how we can, you know, work to improve the experience of those that are, you know, in the space, use the space, and invest in the space.
I mean, we talk about this a lot. I mean, I think we have a fundamental belief that everyone deserves the opportunity to flourish in space. Right. And the type of spaces that we're developing and investing in go beyond these environments and these buildings. These are places that are an inspiration for healing. These are places that spark possibility. These are places that nurture connectivity and connection with other humans. It's really an amazing opportunity. And so let's get into more of the dialogue and some of the specifics about a little bit of the medical space, a little bit of the senior space, and the science and tech. So can we talk a little bit more about medical? What exactly is medical?
Yeah, so medical is not, at least as we see it and we're talking about it in this space, is not your high-end acute care sort of campus facility that is typically developed and operated by the health system itself. What we are talking about in specific is the ancillary aspect of the built environment around that acute care campus. It's your medical outpatient facility. It's your ambulatory surgery centers. Yeah. It's your specialty clinics.
Right.
It's the physical plant that supplements and complements the acute care that the system provides on a campus basis. But more importantly, a trend that has emerged over the last 15 years is this shift to almost a myopic focus on an ambulatory strategy.
Oh, I think it's actually, I think it goes back even 25 years.
Right.
I mean, when you start to look at some of the data, and I think we're facing this, you hear it in the news, mm-hmm. Especially here in the United States about, you know, rising costs of Americans and lifespans are decreasing. The system seems to be broken. I think healthcare providers and systems and physicians and nurses and other care providers are doing the best they possibly can with limited resources. And what we've seen on some of the data, and this goes back to some of our investment theory back in 2000, which is there was a crossover point that started to occur where more outpatient services were occurring than inpatient visits. So inpatient visits, meaning actually in a hospital, overnight stays. Now, hospitals have a very important function in our infrastructure, healthcare infrastructure.
Right.
You have a traumatic event, you want to end up in a hospital for the best care. There's a trend, though, and the trend is going to outpatient. And this is where the opportunity is for the smart investor, because it's a place where there really are no overnight stays. But in certain cases, there are comprehensive medical services that are delivered to you and me and everyone listening. And that market is growing. So what looked like a steady trend in 2000 started to really accelerate in 2010, you know, from the Affordable Care Act, and continued to grow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that acceleration, if you will, facilitated a heightened degree of accessibility to the space, right? That's when the scale within the market, and as a result, the institutional capital started gravitating towards it instead of sort of the onesies and twosies,
right?
Because of the foothold, if you will, and the launching point of that sort of growth within that space, it really created an opportunity in the real estate space from a capital perspective to begin to access the higher quality nature of the asset class.
So for the investor to understand, however, why, like what's driving that some more, aside from this trend, and what's driving the trend and this robust opportunity for assets to invest in and the need, consumers like you and I and others, we're looking for convenience. Mm-hmm. We're looking for high quality. We're looking for the best economic solutions for that care. Providers and healthcare systems are looking for the same thing. How can we do more with less and create better outcomes for patients and the people they take care of in the medical context? And there's interesting data around it. And you don't have to really dig into the numbers to understand it. You can look at your own behavior. If, for me, for example, my primary care physician is located 12 minutes from where I live. Mm-hmm. And that's by design, because if I need to go visit my primary care physician, I want it to be easily accessible. Specialty care, I'm willing to travel greater mm-hmm. distances. And that's pretty common. That's what the data would show. So there's a need in America and continues to grow that we have a lot of hospitals that are in place. Some new hospitals have been built recently, but there is a big need for outpatient medical facilities. And a lot of it's being driven by the consumer as well.
Because, yes, and.
Yes, and.
Because it is a consumer-driven component to that. Uh-huh. But what makes it necessary, I guess, to be responsive to that consumer demand is the fact that the sheer number of consumers is increasing at an exponential rate, the likes of which we've never seen.
And yes.
Of course, that is a reference to the most compelling macro trend that frankly informs the entirety of the healthcare thesis, and that is the significant aging demographic in the U.S. I mean, when we talk about the 65 and over demographic,
it's huge.
It's massive.
It is huge.
It's massive.
And that demographic is a large consumer of healthcare related services.
And they are a very particular, very demanding consumer demographic.
But in the medical side, and this is why I think healthcare real estate is a fascinating business
right.
and investment opportunity. In the medical side, it's not only about the aging demographic. It is still about the whole continuum and every cohort that's there, because everybody needs the services.
Yes.
And that's why we think, for an investor that's thinking about what's my next move, where do I deploy capital? Why not invest in multifamily? Why should I really look at healthcare real estate? Because it's still a needs-based
Absolutely.
Opportunity
Absolutely.
Through the entire demographic.
And but let's don't forget, you're right. It, from a medical perspective, that healthcare delivery is necessary for the entirety of the demographic. But when 20% of that demographic represents the highest needs-based group,
yep.
the needs of that demographic are going to significantly or materially influence sort of the outcome that it comes with that, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
true.
The payors look at it that way, the sure. systems look at it that way. But in the end, that demographic has, you think about the influence that demographic has had over the last 20 years in terms of how we sort of sit here today
yeah.
and do that. So, I mean, it's absolutely correct. And then you layer on an additional data point in terms of the migratory patterns as well, right? This sort of shift away from, you know, highly dense acute care campuses, which were predominantly located in urban centric areas mm-hmm. that had challenges in serving a suburban and exurban and rural population. Mm-hmm. As the population has dispersed, the need for these systems to strategically locate the places in which they do, because to your point, whether it's out of sheer convenience or just the simple need to serve the populace.
Well, I also think it's a strategy for many of the healthcare systems and other providers.
Right.
So, and again, we could also have a conversation, I think we will in some of the future episodes, about the very differences within the medical context mm-hmm. of who drives these type of various assets. Mm-hmm. But it's also a business strategy, because some of these systems will look at a patient population and an opportunity based on some of these migration patterns and go, you know, I don't have a presence in a particular
right.
market. I'm trying as a healthcare provider system to serve more people. If I serve more people, I do better. I take care of more people. I make more money. I'm more solvent. I can absolutely invest in new technologies and new service lines. Really important. So it becomes a very competitive business. That competitive nature, many of these systems today are, as we talked about in many weekends ago, are challenged because of the capital needs.
Yes.
Capital intensive business.
Right.
So back to the investor, and where we see pretty significant opportunity is to help these systems, to help healthcare providers actually execute on these real estate visions, because this is fundamentally not just about the real estate. It is about the strategy, the operational models, and then in a capital constricted environment where healthcare systems are looking for new solutions, this is the opportunity for investors to have a place to deploy capital and to actually get a very good return over a long period of time.
No, 100%, because it's you know, to your point, it's, you know, systems are, and it's no secret. I mean, it's, you know, headline news on a daily basis, you know, the financial stress that, you know, healthcare systems and the sort of healthcare ecosystem as a whole is under, with the sort of limits on reimbursements, the rising cost of labor, all of the things that systems are wrestling with to, you know, to just ensure that they can meet the basic, you know, service delivery requirements. Yeah. So, you know, the highest and best use of their capital is not necessarily in the expansion of their physical footprint. Mm-hmm. But as we've just kind of went through, the expansion of their physical footprint is necessary. It is as essential to their outcomes as ensuring that they have enough doctors, nurses, and administrators to just sort of run their day to day.
Absolutely.
And so, to your point, we are seeing them lean into a third party development model more often, which again increases the level of accessibility and opportunity for capital to flow into the space.
So what's going on in seniors right now, do you think?
Well, I mean, let's start at the top, which is the inevitability of this aging demographic. I mean, the simple fact that 11,400 people turn 65 in the U.S. every single day.
It's astounding.
It's astounding. And, you know, in thinking about the fact that next year will be the first year in history that the 65 and over demographic outnumbers the 18 and under demographic.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been headline news lately about, you know, the declining birth rate and how certain, you know, countries are trying to incent and encourage, you know, the younger generation to, you know, have children and increase that. But, you know, that's going to take a generation to even see if that sort of take holds. But what is undeniable is that you have this wave of humans that are aging into this space that are going to create the need to have access to care,
right,
and a shelter component.
Right.
You know, and we'll talk about it as we sort of get through the course of the season. And as a result is there's this extreme supply gap because, again, the stubbornest of facts is that, you know, we just haven't been building enough of the space.
So the healthcare,
but then going back to your comment about being locked up and the opportunity, because the existing communities for these folks to go into are representative of what we all know, or at least sort of have the perception of what senior living is.
Right.
So that's what's going on there, which is this tremendous opportunity to effectively shake the Etch-a-Sketch.
Right.
And not necessarily start over.
Yeah.
But absolutely improve on what we have.
So the same demographic requires and has needs on the medical side.
Right.
These needs are also important from a just housing component. So senior housing is something that we've been actively investing in and very focused on, and actually developing and building communities when the markets have been tough. And we're going to talk a little bit more of why investors are looking into that space. Pretty excited about the space and why the time is now for that. Going back, circling back to some of the fundamentals, it still comes down to we have a durable asset class in healthcare. We have strong demographic tailwinds, and this is a unique time to invest in the space. You agree with all that?
I absolutely agree with all of that. And I think it goes back to, you know, where we started in the context of what we observe in terms of investor behavior, seeming like we're back in, you know, 2014, 15, and 16, where, you know, the capital flows were, you know, just almost exclusively getting funneled towards, you know, multi-industrial and you know, office, you know, at the time. Yet, you know, the little engine that could, you know, healthcare continued to progress, continued to, you know, facilitate increased opportunity to access investment grade, institutional quality deals, but yet it felt like it was and continues to be ignored.
Right.
But it's the opportunity. I mean, what's the old saying? You know, everything you need is right there in front of your face.
Yeah, right. Right. That's right.
Yeah.
So when I asked you to describe healthcare, there were three legs to the stool.
Yes.
Medical and seniors and science and tech. Mm-hmm. Do a deeper dive, science and tech.
Yeah. So, you know, as I said earlier, it's differentiated from, you know, the high end, super expensive spec office space in the tier one markets.
Okay.
You know, for us, it is again derivative of the healthcare thesis. Mm. That particular component tends to incubate and be focused more on, again, the needs of a particular demographic, whether or not it is being in response to, again, the rapidly advancing technologies associated with elder care or with the delivery of healthcare services, yeah, as opposed to, you know, the higher end sort of big pharma research kind of thing.
Right.
So again, it's one of those opportunities that has been entirely visible in the background.
I think it feels like there's a shift occurring, right?
Yeah.
And there's this blend of almost research and commercial application that's being driven by some of these institutions. So I think you're right. It's been visible, but it's hard to see.
It is hard to see. And it's one of those things that sort of pops up. It's like when, you know, let's continue the analogy to the academic space, because it's kind of like when you go back to your alma mater,
yep,
you know, the campus feels the same,
yep,
but it's different.
Of course. Yeah.
Because you think about the onset of these sort of innovation districts and these tech zones.
Yeah.
The vast majority of which have incubated and sprouted out of a university or an academic, yeah, environment.
Yeah.
You go back and you're just like, well, where did this come, yeah, from? But then you see what the work's being done and how it's being sort of disseminated and commercially applied.
Right.
It's exactly what we're talking about.
It's interesting you say that too. It's one of the newest buildings on the campus where I went to school is the School of Nursing.
Right.
I mean, it's again, we're seeing this occurring in the marketplace. It's a lot of these new needs, these facilities that are in demand are because of this aging demographic and everything that we're talking about. That's what I get really excited,
yeah,
about.
Yeah, that sort of intersection,
we are at the
that
intersection.
You talk about, and right, you know, how it dovetails with an increased interest in academics to facilitate multi-generational living situations.
Yeah.
Because not only can they continue to advance you know, an adult learning curriculum and things like that, but it gives a sort of captive pool in which to conduct that research and create, yeah, an environment where you can kind of have,
right,
that intersection of commercial applicability, but then also its impact on the healthcare space and the delivery.
I love that. So we started the conversation around what I thought was funny, which is there's a lot of investors chasing core asset classes. Mm-hmm. I think it's our time to reframe for investors what healthcare real estate really is. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, what's the next move, Mike?
I think the move is to look at it differently, as you just said, because at its essence, healthcare real estate is something that we already all know and understand. It's very personal. And it's the old, you know, Buffett cliche about, you know, invest in what you know.
Yeah.
You actually already know more about it than you realize.
Oh, I love
so
that.
I think, yeah, the move is to lean in, to follow the inevitability of the demographics and get on board.
I love that.
What's your move?
Great question. I think my next move is to lean into the market dynamics and the fundamentals that are there. So while it's very personal and we all have the experience with these physical assets, the data is strong. Understand the data. Invest where you can be really smart, and I think you'll succeed.
Facts are stubborn.
Facts are stubborn, my friend.
All right.
That's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Tortilla.
Thanks for listening to The Move, a show exploring what's shaping the future of healthcare real estate. If you liked what you heard, follow the show and share with someone you know looking to make their next move.